We're looking at the book of Galatians, and this morning I want to continue teaching on it. And so it's a teach about grace. It teaches into the world which we are often averse to. Grace. We love to receive grace, but we're not very good in showing grace. We're going to deal with that today. The reason Paul was so determined to push into the book of Galatians, which is the book of grace, was he wanted the young church that he had planted in the area of Galatia. There were churches in there, some 14 churches, some scholars say. He was deeply concerned that they would stop growing in grace and stop walking in grace. You see, you come to faith in grace, but so often we stop walking in grace. Let me just bring us back to understand what the foundations of the book is. Paul is saying that grace is the foundation of your Christian life. If you shift away from that, you have shifted into religion. You've shifted into something that was never intended by Jesus Christ. He wanted them to stay rooted and not to drift away from that. He reminds them when he opens the book in chapter 1 and verse 4. He makes it very clear. He gives his greetings. And then verse 4 he says, Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. He says, get that's the message. That's the foundation. We're not going to move from that. When people go into negotiations and say, what's the bottom line? Paul is saying, this is the beginning. This is the end. This is the anchor. That grace is found because Jesus offered his life. Paul had to tell the church in Rome, who was also a young church filled with their own ambitions, and they were very confident and self-assured people. He had to say to them in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. You never qualified. He died for you when you weren't even interested in him. And since we have been made right with God, in God's sight, by the blood of Jesus. You never had an interest. In other words, Jesus died for me before I even showed an interest in him. That's called grace. Paul's going to lay it emphatically. He said, all your efforts of being self-righteous, all the attempts you make, all the hard work you do to seek to gain God's approval will never, ever be enough. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, everyone has sinned, fallen short of the glorious standards of God. The standards that you think you are better than other Christians, he says, that standard is way below my standard. Do you know, you get to the place when you talk to people and say, well, I've had a quiet time here, 3 hours this morning. Oh, hallelujah, praise God. And you ask the person, well, I haven't had a quiet time. Ooh, I feel so much better than you. He says, that standard is, it's not going to make it. Paul lays into Romans when he quotes out of Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. We are all inflicted and impure with sin when we put on our prized robes of righteousness and think we're so good. We find out they're only filthy rags. Paul has reason to be able to talk like that. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was one who fought more for the faith of the Jewish believers. He says, I was adamantly, ridiculously zealous. I killed people for the name of the faith. Paul reminds them, he says, do you think it's only just the foundation? No, it's your source for everyday life. Grace is your source for everyday life. You don't get saved with grace and then try to make it on your own. What he's trying to say is that grace is God's undeserved kindness to you, even when you fail and make mistakes. Grace means he stoops down and embraces you and strengthens you. That's what grace is. And Paul says, that's become the source of my life. I don't only experience this grace, but I live by his grace. Through life's challenges, through those difficult times, through those people that I find difficult to relate to. When I faced obstacles and struggles, when I felt discouraged and I felt like quitting, I experienced him reaching down to me. Paul lays into it. He captures that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he says, my grace is always more than enough for you. More than enough for you. And my power finds its full expression through your weaknesses. So I will celebrate my weaknesses, for when I'm weak, I sense how deeply and the mighty power of Christ living in me. He says, when I feel I can't anymore, when I feel like I just can't put one foot ahead of the next, when I feel this relationship that I'm in with my partner, and we are into such a hard place, we can't seem to get through this patch, and I just want one exit plan, get out of this. It gives me grace to start again. It gives me grace for that child that I can't believe he is born of my flesh. It's like another person. He gives me grace. He gives me grace when I just can't face another disappointment in my work, in my circumstances. Paul was saying, God's grace, not my strength, has seen me through. But this morning I want to talk about two things that happens when grace happens. What happens with you when grace happens to you? What happens when grace becomes part of your life? You experience, and I've seen it, when grace happens, I see people's lives changed. I see people gripped by addictions being set free. On Tuesday night was one of the highlights of my life in ministry. I attended a birthday party of someone that's been on the road for 2 years with Jesus. Was an addict. He experienced God's grace, and now he was celebrating with these other fellow strugglers that came to faith. And we had a meal together, and the one person that I couldn't take my eyes off was the lady sitting at the table with me, was Selwyn's mother. And every time anybody spoke, tears just streamed down her face. You see, for years she had prayed for that boy. And now she's seen him at the age of 50 serving Jesus. And I saw grace. I saw grace. I see grace when a couple who are about to get divorced and say it'll never work, and as I had to deal with an unfaithful betrayal of the husband to his wife, and he said to me, I'll never ever win her back again. And as we sat together in a counseling room and tears flowed and anger rose and stormed out and came back and more tears and more anger. And as the process went on, forgiveness and grace were seen. And today they worship together and serve together. I've seen grace. When grace happens, people change. I've seen mothers and fathers reconciled to us children. I heard a man sobbing one Sunday somewhere in the audience, in the congregation, as I preached on the subject of Father's Day and forgiveness. And a howl went out and a sob continued. When I met with him after the service, he says, "I must go see my father. I hate him. But today, I heard how I must forgive," and he made right. And today they serve in a great company. You see, grace, when grace happens, something changes in you. When grace happens, you become different. When I've seen grace happen, I've seen people forgive and walk away from gossip about them. And they've extended grace. You see, when grace happens, you change. Like Paul, on the road to Damascus, en route to persecute the church. The church had just barely been started. And something happened on the road where he experienced grace and God reached out and touched his life. He became the apostle to the Gentiles, the very people he was going to persecute. God said he would be my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles. Paul's life was so changed, he began to write 13 of the 27 New Testament books. That's almost half of it. He wrote 87 chapters. And in those 87 chapters, he mentions grace 27 times. He focused his teaching. Almost one-third of the New Testament Paul wrote was focused on grace. Why? Because grace happened to him. You see, when grace happens, lives are changed. And when grace happens, God deals with your past. You see, Paul knew that he had a past of shame, a past of guilt. He writes to the Galatians early up. He says, "I just wanted to let you know that Jesus Christ is the only way you can experience God's salvation and grace." He said, "But let me just quickly tell you about me," in verse 13 of Galatians 1. "You have heard about my past life in the Jewish religion. I attacked the church of God. I tried to destroy it. I live with that shame. I live with that guilt. I was brutal. I was cruel. In fact, to tell you the truth, I agreed to the first killing of the first Christian called Stephen. In fact, I would go from house to house seeking to destroy churches, the church, by dragging out women and men and children and throwing them into prison. I have a past, dark past. I struggled with that past." When he wrote to the Corinthians, he says, "All the other apostles are great, greater than I am. I'm not even good enough to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." But Paul experienced grace. Maybe I'm speaking to folk here this morning that carry shame, guilt, secrets, a past. Somewhere, it's hidden deep inside of you and you carry that. Paul said, if you experience grace, he deals with your past. That's why he wrote in Galatians chapter 2, We know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus. And we who have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we've been made right with God because of our faith. He said something changes when you accept Him and you know Him. Paul goes on to tell the Christians, you have a past. I have a past. He says, but he writes to them, he said, but he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin. When I read that, I thought to myself, there are certain sins some people think can't be forgiven. It's too dark. You've buried it so deep. It says, and to cleanse us and make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. He says, he has a plan for your life to do good deeds. He has wiped away every kind of sin and he's cleansed it. That's why Paul says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He dealt with my past. That's what happens when grace happens. Are you carrying your past? Please look at me. Then you've not experienced how wide and how deep His grace is for you. There's an enemy that's telling you, not God. Because God says there is no condemnation for those who are in and belong to me. That's what grace does. You're not living in grace. You think He's given you grace to forgive the sin so you can go to heaven. He says, I'm giving you grace so you can walk and you can talk and you can live and you can look at each other without the shadow of shame. That's what happens when grace happens. But when grace happens, it changes me, not my past only. It changes me. It changes my perspective, my attitude, and my responses to others. It changes the way I see people. It changes the way I treat people. Because when grace happens to me, I become less self-righteous. The definition of self-righteous is, I'm confident in my own righteousness. I feel superior and spiritually, morally better than others. Paul says, you can't claim that. I claim that. And that was, I was never good enough. He said, I was a Hebrew of a Hebrew, a Jew of the Jew. I fulfilled the very letters of the law, but I was not righteous enough. He said, you can't claim that because grace says self-righteousness does not exist. How easily we go there. You see, self-righteousness means when I'm intolerant of others' weaknesses and struggles. I become a Pharisee. I become judgmental. I become a Christian fruit inspector. I have a checklist who's good enough and who's not good enough. Jesus knocked that on its head in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Please read it at home. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. That's self-righteousness. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. Oh, I thank you, God, that I'm not like the other people, cheaters and sinners and adulterers. I'm certainly not like the tax collector. I have fasted twice a week. I give of my tenth to the income. But that tax collector stood in the corner at a distance. He dared not lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful for me, for I am a sinner." Can I tell you what Jesus' response to that teaching part? I tell you, the sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see, self-righteousness plays into your pride. Self-righteousness plays into, I'm not like them, I'm better than them, I don't do the things they do, look at them. Jesus says, I despise self-righteousness because your best attempts to be righteous is like filthy rags in my sight. So what does it mean? You see, when you become self-righteous, it leads to prejudice. You start evaluating and judging everyone around you. You see, when grace happens to me, it deals with my self-righteousness. It deals with my pride. It deals with my prejudice. And my prejudice says, I'm judging you and evaluating where you come from, what's your background, what's your education, where you live, what's your status, what's your position, what's your wealth, who do you mix with, what's your color, what's your culture. Paul nails that strongly in Galatians chapter 3. He says, I need to nail this thing. He says, for you are all children of God through faith in Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the two children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promises to Abraham belong to you. He says, you belong to Jesus. When you say yes to grace, there are no first-class, second-class tickets in the Christian world. He sees you and everyone with eyes of grace. So if we belong to each other, how should we treat each other? With grace? Like Jesus did? He's not teaching something that is going to stay in the record books. He said, if you all belong to other, I want you to treat each other with grace. And you know the best way I can explain what grace is? When you accept and you're tolerant of each other. Romans chapter 14 says, accept other believers who are weak in the faith. Don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. Get off your hobby horse of being the righteous one that corrects everyone, but start loving everyone. Can somebody say amen, please? I thought that's pretty good. Because we want to teach, we want to correct, but we start with Jesus' teaching. Therefore, love one another. And Paul is saying that. And he qualifies because each of us will give personal account to God. Do you think the people are not going to stand before God and give their account to God? In Romans 5, chapter 15, verses 1 to 5, Paul writes, "We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about the things like this." It was about what they should eat and what they should not eat. Vegans, vegans, whatever they are, all those things. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right. You see, when grace happens, I treat people differently. Let me read a few verses, and you can come up. When grace happens, I see people through the eyes of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Finally, all of us should be of one mind, sympathizing with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humbled attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do. And He will grant you His blessing. So what happens when grace happens? It changes your life. It changes the way you relate, how you respond. It changes the way you treat your wife, your children. But the outsider, when they try to trap Jesus, says, "What is the greatest command?" He said, "Love your neighbor as yourself. Love Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself." What Jesus was saying, love others. Let this church become a place for all, welcoming and belonging. Because that's what happens when grace happens.